This is Parshat Korach, and it was written by Rabbi David Hoffman. Korach's rebellion in blue and white. From what time do they recite the morning Shema prayer? From when there is sufficient light in order to distinguish between blue and white. Mishnah Brachot 1-2. What was the nature of Korach's great rebellion? Seemingly his claim is not all that audacious. Moshe, all the community is holy, kulam kedoshim, and God is in their midst. Numbers 16:3. Indeed, Korach's message seems to be reminiscent of the sentiment that God had, in fact, expressed to Moshe right before the revelation at Sinai. You, the entire people, shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6. Many commentators suggest that the key to unlocking the meaning of the challenge that Korach presents is revealed when we read this passage with its immediate antecedent in the Torah. Speak to the Israelite people and instruct them to make for themselves fringes on the corners of their garments throughout the ages. Let them attach a cord of blue to the fringe at each corner. That shall be your fringe. Look at it and recall all the commandments of the Lord and observe them so that you do not follow your heart and eyes and your lustful urge. Thus you shall be reminded to observe all my commandments to be holy. V'hiyitem kedoshim, to your God. Numbers 15, verses 37 through 41. This paragraph is very familiar to us. It constitutes the last paragraph of the Shema. Professor Yeshayahu Leibovitz, an important 20th century Israeli theologian, argues that Korach's profound misstep can only be appreciated when his claim, all the community is holy, kulam kedoshim, is seen in juxtaposition to the theology of this passage. Holiness, as it is articulated in the last paragraph of the Shema, is not a given. Rather, holiness is an aspiration. It is the objective of a life lived in a relationship to God and God's will. God has made it clear that the Israelites are not inherently holy. A path is set before them. Mitzvot, ways of being in the world, are commanded. If people choose to follow this path and construct lives, relationships, and communities of meaning, then and only then will they bring holiness into their lives and communities. In contrast, Korach offers another type of religious consciousness, and it should be understood as a competing posture towards the world. Holiness for Korach is not an aspiration, but an intrinsic quality. The community is holy. Leibovitz understands this to be Korach's heresy. Never in the Torah are the Jewish people equated with holiness. Leviticus 19 famously presents the Israelites with the possibility of holiness. Kedoshim tihiyu, you shall be holy. The possibility, never the fact. When Korach argues that the nation is holy, he undermines the religious vision of the Torah and expresses a type of hubris of self-sufficiency that must be seen as idolatry in its purest form. God's path for human growth and betterment, mitzvot, as a language that aspires to make the world holy, is replaced by complacency. If holiness is an aspiration, then human beings are responsible for the world. But if holiness is an ontological given, what is there left to build? What is there to strive towards? In his challenge to Moshe's leadership, Korach has undermined human responsibility for the world. I would propose an additional interpretation of Korach's challenge, one which also builds on the juxtaposition of these two sections of the Torah. Rashi relates the following midrash in order to explain the nature of Korach's attack. What did Korach do? He arose and assembled 250 men who were fit to be the heads of the Sanhedrin, and he dressed them in four-cornered garments, talit, made entirely of blue wool. They came and stood before Moses and said to him, "Does a four-cornered garment made entirely of blue wool require fringes, tzitzit, or is it exempt?" Moses said to them, "It does require tzitzit." They began to laugh at him. "Is it possible that a talit made of some other material, and then one string of blue makes the talit ritually fit? And yet this talit, which is made entirely of blue, is not already ritually fit?" This midrash also assigns relevance to the fact that Korach's rebellion occurs immediately after the Pashat about tzitzit. Korach and his group attack Moshe's authority by means of an argument regarding what constitutes a kosher talit. They laugh incredulously at him and reject his response based on an argument a fortiori, a kal vachomer. If the fringes of a four-cornered white garment are made kosher by attaching a single blue cord to the tzitzis, then a talit made entirely of blue cord must certainly be exempt from the blue cord. Moshe is not moved by this reasoning and opines that even a talit made of blue wool must have a blue cord on its fringes, just as Numbers 15:38 mandates. But what really is at stake in this dispute? Is this simply an argument over what makes kosher talitot? I suggest that we understand Rashi to be doing something more than simply identifying the disagreement that Korach used in order to challenge Moses' authority. Behind the argument lies a disagreement as to the need for boundaries and distinctions. Korach claims that if a talit is made of all blue wool, no cord of blue is needed on the white fringes. Moshe, however, affirms that tzitzit must be made of white fringes and a blue wool cord. The contrast between the white and the blue must be manifest in the fringes themselves. This is an essential part of the mitzvah of tzitzit. In this way, when a Jew holds the tzitzit and looks at the contrast between the colors, he or she fulfills the command to recall all the commandments of the Lord, Numbers 15:39. Indeed, Mishnah Brachot 1:2 identifies the earliest time in the morning to read the Shema prayer as the moment when one can identify the difference between the blue cord and the white fringes. This halakha is about the importance of distinctions in boundary making in the religious life. Korach proposes a worldview that does away with contrasts and boundaries. This idea is also present in his challenge to Moshe. The whole community is holy. No longer are distinctions between proper conduct and unbecoming choices a part of the tapestry of the religious life. Differentiation is only a part of the religious worldview offered by Moshe. Indeed, later in Rashi's commentary, Rashi has Moshe attack Korach. Boundaries has the Holy One, blessed be He, set in this world. Are you capable to change morning into evening? The religious life is about striving to create communities infused with holiness. By no means is this a given. Korach's challenge was not only ill-constructed, it was fatal for the religious program of the Torah. The mitzvah of tzitzit, with its essential contrast between blue and white, reminds us that a formative moment in our relationship with God is the ability to make distinctions. It is in the moment of making choices that we assume responsibility for the world, and it is through the boundary making that we constructively respond to the aspirational call, Kedoshim Tehiyu, you shall be holy because I, your God, am holy.